Thanks for tuning into the Songlines and Tan Lines podcast with Anthony Renfro. Those returning, thank you. Those new to this podcast, welcome. Now let's pull up the anchor and set sail. Well, we've come to a gigantic, massive Godzilla-type album on the podcast. And a massively huge Godzilla-like album in my journey into becoming a parrot head. The album in question, Fruitcakes, in case you read the title. You will know that already. This was the first new album I purchased as a freshly minted, brand new Jimmy Buffett fan, and I thought I had covered more of the songs from it on the podcast. I haven't, but it's probably the most, if not close to the most, covered on the podcast. I thought, here I go again thinking, only gets me in trouble, that since this album was such a landmark in my Parrothead fandom, that I should cover every song on this album, on this podcast, before this podcast is finished and done. And I decided that to do that would take not one, but two episodes. What follows next are the episodes of the songs I've already covered on the podcast. That way you won't have to dig through the back catalog in order to find them. You're very welcome for that. Now let's blend some margaritas, grab a comfy chair by the water, and get started. First up, sound effects. Get ready for those. And the song, Lone Palm. Do you see it, folks? There in the distance, that little island with a tiny beach, white sandy shoreline. Do you see the lone palm resting on it, all alone, slightly angled, surrounded by a small patch of grass, just enough shade to keep you cool? Let's head the boat towards it now and pull up onto the shore. Let's take out our beach chair and prop it right up under that tree, open our cooler and relax, and let the day drift away. I could use a place like that right now. How about you? Do you have a destination like that you like to go from time to time, real or made up? Let me know. I'd love to hear about it. ZombieBeach3@gmail.com if you want to send me that information, or any information at all. Well, in case you don't know it by now, my name is Anthony, and I take full responsibility for this podcast. Hail to the king, baby. Those returning, and I can't say this enough, and in enough ways, thank you. I didn't start this podcast for fame and glory. I had an idea, and I thought I could bring it to life. And when you return each and every week, that idea grows stronger, and Buffett's deep cuts grow stronger as well. Those new here, those tuning in for the first time, welcome. I hope you enjoy today's episode. The song I am featuring today is Lone Palm, from Jimmy's album Fruitcakes, arguably one of his greatest albums. I guess the time off between Off to See the Lizard and Fruitcakes paid off.
My garden is filled with papayas and mangoes. My life is a mixture of reggae's and tangles. Chase for the good life, I can live it no other way. While out on the beach there are two empty chairs that say more than the people who ever sit there. From under my lone palm I can look out on the day.
Always loved this one. It was one of those songs on Fruitcakes that immediately grabbed my attention. And Fruitcakes was the first CD I bought by Buffett that was actually current. It was actually released while I was on the path to becoming a Parrothead. I got to walk into a store and proudly pick it up with a smile on my face. And this is another easy on your soul kind of song. Hard to be stressed when listening to it. In fact, when the crap hits the fan, find this song on your phone, turn it on, go into a closet or separate room, take some deep breaths, and by the time it is over, you will feel better. That's my parental advice for this episode. Jimmy is the only writer credited for bringing this wonderful song to life, and I thought maybe we could celebrate the lyrics by reading a few of them. Here we go. My garden is filled with papayas and mangoes. My life is a mixture of reggaes and tangos. Taste for the good life, I can live it no other way. While out on the beach there are two empty chairs that say more than the people who ever sit there. From under my lone palm I can look out on the day, where no bird flies by my window, no ship is tied to my tree. Love is a wave building to a crescendo. Ride if you will, ride it with me. Beautiful, pure lyrical poetry. Now, what I'm about to tell you is ridiculous, and I mean absolutely ridiculous. This song has only been played live 15 times in concert. 15? Yep, that's right, only 15 times. Unbelievable. I don't expect it to be in heavy rotation, but that is nuts. It could easily slip into a quieter moment of the show, one of those moments when the audience needs a break from dancing and going crazy, or as an acoustic encore. All I'm saying is this could easily fit into any show. In digging up the information for this song, I found out it was first played live in 1989, December of that year, and then again in 1990 and 1992, which means Jimmy dusted this one off before the album Fruitcakes was released. If he thought it was strong enough to highlight a new album, then why hasn't it been played live more? I don't know, and I guess I never will. It was also last played live on August 8th, 2019, if you need to know that information, so a bit recently. He's also sprinkled it into a couple of other tours in 1994, 1999, and 2016. Come on, Jimmy, put this in a set list again. I think us Parrotheads would appreciate it. That about does it this week. Thanks again for tuning in and listening. Give Fruitcakes a spin this week if you haven't heard it in a while. Easily one of his best albums. And if you need another podcast fix, check out the Audible Ecstasy podcast. It's me and two friends discussing albums one song at a time. That's it. Time to set sail. Fins up. This episode is Deadhead versus Parrothead. This is comparing Uncle John's band, the Dead's version, versus Jimmy's version. Who will win? Who will lose? I think you kind of know the answer to that one, but maybe not. This one might surprise you. Thanks for tuning into the latest episode of the Songlines and Tin Lines podcast, a place to take a momentary break from your day-to-day routine. Those returning, thank you. The support is greatly, greatly appreciated. Those new to this podcast, welcome. And if you like what you hear and are not a subscriber, don't forget to subscribe. Now let's pull up the anchor and set sail. This week, my friend Chris from the Audible Ecstasy podcast is on the show and mm-hmm. in order to help me and you decide which is the better song, Jimmy's cover of Uncle John's Band or the tried and true original by the Grateful Dead. And if things seem a little weird, a little bit strange, on my side, I'm not used to really running these with somebody else on there, so I might sound a little bit different myself. But Chris is there, so Chris, tell everybody you're doing okay. I'm assuming you're doing okay.
I'm doing well, Anthony, yeah. I've told these guys I got laid off here recently, and I was kind of down, depressed a little bit, but I've had some positive news in that front here over the past few days, so I'm actually feeling a lot better. If you listen to our episode from Foo Fighters review.
Shameless plug. Audible yeah. Ecstasy podcast is the one we're doing.
I may have signed it a little down on that one, but apologize for that, Anthony. It may have kind of given a subpar episode, but
it is what it is. Yeah. You know, like Jimmy and Alan Jackson say, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So just keep that in your head, man. It's five o'clock somewhere. And if you get down, grab you a brewski, even if it isn't 8 in the morning, because it is 5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah. So, anyways, right, well, Chris may jump in on a few of these with me, too, while he's out of work, just to shake things up a bit. But before we go ahead and dive into the two songs, we have some information on the albums the songs come from. So, I'm going to read a little bit of the first one. Chris is going to dive into the second song. He gets the Buffett one. See what I do for my guests on the show? I give them the Buffett one to talk about, not the Grateful Dead one.
Appreciate that. You're a bigger Dead fan than me, I think.
Somewhat, man. I will say this album, Working Man's Dead and American Beauty, I've listened to a lot. But beyond that, Touch of Grey, I was big on that in the 80s when it was popular. So let me go ahead and get into the script, and we'll kind of get into the songs after that. Okay, let's first dive into the album that you can find the Dead's version of this song on. The album is called Working Man's Dead, and Wikipedia had this to say about the album. Working Man's Dead is the fourth studio album by the Grateful Dead, of course. It was recorded in February 1970 and originally released on June 14, 1970. The album and its studio follow-up, American Beauty, which is a fantabulous album, were recorded back-to-back using a similar style, eschewing the psychedelic experimentation of previous albums in favor of Jerry Garcia and Robert Hunter's Americana-styled songcraft. In 2003, the album was ranked number 262 on Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest of all time, 264 in 2012 on a revised list, and 409 in the 2020 list. It was also voted number 371 in Colin Larkin's all-time top 1,000 albums. With all that said, and that information firmly planted in your parrot head brains, let's give their song a quick listen. Choice, my friends, better take my advice. You know all the rules by now and the fire from the ice. Will you come with me? Won't you come with me? Oh, oh, what I want to know. Will you come with me? God damn, will I declare, have you seen the light? Their walls are built of cannonballs, their motto is don't tread on me. Come hear Uncle John's band playing to the tide. Come with me or go alone, he's come to take his children home.
Okay, Anthony, now that we've heard the original, let's give Jimmy's cover a chance to shine. His song can be found on the album Fruitcakes, and according to Wikipedia, it is the 18th studio album by American singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett. Initially, the album was to be called Quietly Making Noise. The album was released in May of 1994. It was Buffett's first studio recording since Off to See the Lizard from 1989.
Great album.
Yeah, yes, it is a great album. He used this five-year hiatus to focus on writing a couple books, Tales from Margaritaville in 1989, and Where is Joe Merchant in 1992.
Both great books as well. I enjoyed reading them.
I'll take your word for that. Fruitcakes reached number 5 on the Billboard 200 album chart, making it Buffett's first top 10 album. The album was also certified platinum by the RIAA. I don't know what that means. But it was on December the 19th, 2004, which happens to be Anthony's birthday.
Exactly.
I don't know if you threw that in there as a plug or not.
I did not, but that's a nice thing to see that Buffett gets some love on my birthday, man.
The first single from this album, song Fruitcakes, with title track, it charted at number 29 on the Billboard Adult Contemporary chart. The second single, Frenchman for the Night, did not chart, sadly. It's a great song. It should have.
That's a great song. And I've got an episode on that one back in the day, so tune into that one if you want to listen to that some more.
There are several songs on this album that are covers of other recording artists. You have, of course, the song we're reviewing today, Uncle John's Band. Sunny Afternoon, which is a song by the Kinks. She's Got You is a famous pop country song written by Hank Cochran and first recorded and released as a single by Patsy Cline. Anyway, with all that aside, let's give Jimmy's version a listen.
All the rules by now and the fire from the ice. Will you come with me? Won't you come with me? Oh, oh, all I want to know. Will you come with me? God damn, I declare.
let that keep playing, man. All right, folks, now the moment you've been waiting for, anxiously waiting for, biting your nails in anticipation. I hope so, at least. It's now time to pit these two massive songs together, Deadhead versus Parrothead. Who will come out in the end?
Well, let's take Jimmy's version first. You hear those steel drums kicking in right off the bat, which gives you this awesome Caribbean vibe to it and just kind of puts you in like that relaxation mode in your mind. That's hard to beat right there. With the Grateful Dead, you have the way they kind of harmonize. I will say that the vocal harmonies with the Dead is a little more than Bubba has. He's more kind of the lone singer on this song, right, where they kind of share that responsibility. You get a more stripped down version acoustically with the Grateful Dead. It almost has like a little bit of a South of the Border vibe at times.
It does.
To it.
I can hear that.
Yeah. But I will say something to put over the top for me is the first concert I ever attended with Anthony, the first Jimmy Buffett concert I ever attended with Anthony, they played this song that night. They didn't close the whole show with it, but they closed it before the encores with it. And I have this visualization of how much the crowd loved it. I mean, it was a huge hit that night. I looked it up. It looks like he's only played it 90 times live ever, according to Setlist FM, which may not be accurate. I don't know. But I think they have a lot of Buffett set lists in there, so they're probably like pretty good.
The Parrotheads seem to really log on there pretty well, it seems.
I can believe it. So it's not a whole lot of listens, but it's not terrible either. I got to give the nod to Buffett just because of that Caribbean vibe to it, plus seeing it live and seeing the concert reaction, you know, the crowd reaction to it.
Yeah, I still remember that first concert because we were in the gold circle, they called it back then.
Third row, I think.
It was like third or fourth row. Yeah, like maybe in the third row. First concert for both of us.
This was before people could buy tickets online.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Anthony's mom won some lottery and wound up getting tickets, right?
It was back in the day when you would have like, you were in line at the record store. I was in line on the phone. Yeah. My mom might have been online somewhere else. Someone else might have been another record store. Buffett was so popular back then. It was hard to get. It's easier to get tickets these days than it was back in the day, it seems like. But
that's debatable. I think that's another day debate right there. Yeah.
But I still remember that show clearly, man. When that procession of carnival players came floating out. When that was so cool, man. The first concert was always the best, but. Anyways, I'm going to go and dive into my side of the argument, and I have to say, of all the covers, most of the time, Jimmy's cover wins out. It's probably because I love the guy, but I always like the extra stuff he puts on to these cover songs. He doesn't just copy them. He makes his own stamp on them, which a lot of artists don't do. But with this one, I do have a little bit of a difficult time picking between them, but I am leaning more towards Jimmy's version, surprise, surprise. And the reason is his version is slightly better than the original, not by much, because I really love the way the Dead sound doing this song. They really made a classic rock song that doesn't sound dated, doesn't sound like it was made in 1970, which is now over 50 years ago, which is crazy to think about. And you can listen to the Dead's version of this song anytime and on any occasion, and it will always sound great, and it will never sound dated. But Jimmy's version just has that little bit extra, that makes it a Buffett song. It's more layered, got hints of steel drum, like Chris said. It's more upbeat, it's peppier. And I like the way he launches into the chorus, you know, and he says that GD part. It's not just like sliding into it. It's like GD, you know, it's like really, really hitting it. You know, I'm trying not to cuss on the show as much as I can. So those little things kind of give it the nod to me. So in this head-to-head, I got to give it to Jimmy again. There is a song floating out there that Jimmy didn't do a better job of. Surprise, surprise on that one. And hopefully someday we'll dive into that one as well.
I'm curious to hear what that will be, I have to say.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and say it now. It's Glory Days by Springsteen. I just don't think...
Okay.
I don't think... I like Jimmy's version, but Springsteen's version of Glory Days is just, it's just got a Springsteen sound to it. It's hard to even put a spin on it because his is so unique. But
yeah, he's a difficult guy to cover because you're never going to sound like him.
That's exactly. But at the same time, I mean, it was done live. So, you know, it wasn't a studio effort. So it might be a little bit different if it was studio. So Anyway, that's kind of where it stands. We both picked Buffett. Surprise, surprise. We're on a Buffett-based podcast picking Buffett. Surprise, surprise. Anyways, Chris had, do you have another little song you want to pop on here for 1 second?
Well, you know what? That's a good point. There is a third cover I found while floating around out here. It's from the Indigo Girls. They covered this song as well. I guess they're kind of like a folky band, which kind of falls into the category. But here we go. We'll listen to it. I'm curious to hear what you think.
It's a buck cancer's choice, my friend. Better take my advice. You know all the rules by now and the fire from the ice. Now will you come with me? Won't you come with me? Oh, I want to know, will you come with me? Sister, will I declare, have you seen the light?
What is his sister for?
Their walls are built of cannonballs. Their motto is don't tread on me. Come here, Uncle John's band, play into the tide.
It's good. I mean, and talk about putting your own spin on it, throwing in sister in there. I mean, that is your own spin. So it's definitely a lot more livelier than either version of these two songs. So.
Definitely more sped up. I will give the Indigo Girls credit. They acoustically are pretty good musicians. I mean, I felt like the guitars maybe better in this song than they were in the Dead song. Yeah. It's totally different than Jimmy's version. I mean, there's no Caribbean steel drum sound to it or anything, but.
That's where Jimmy always gets the nod. You get that little bit of steel drum, a little bit of Caribbean vibe to it. You know, it always
makes it his own that way.
Yeah.
I got to say, their vocals weren't great in that. I've heard them harmonize a lot better than on this song. Yeah. So that's kind of my take on it. I don't know what you think.
I mean,
I don't think it's better than either of the originals.
No.
But I will say acoustically, they do a really good job. It's just more the vocals didn't really match up for me on that one.
It stuck more in line towards the original than really anything else. It is more like the original just sped up a little bit with a few different words thrown in. So I'm not sure I'd listen to it often, but I might listen to it again and see what it sounds. Listen to it in its entirety. So let me go ahead and drop anchor here and close out the episode. You can hear my voice and Chris's voice talking music on the Audible Ecstasy podcast, another shameless plug. And that's Ecstasy, E-X-T-A-C-Y. And I still have my horror podcast going called Nightlight Tales, which I don't update, but there's still stuff there in case you want a little spooky from time to time. And that's about it. No reading of the book this week. I will pick up with the tale of the Golden Pirate next week when I get back to being a single lonely voice on this thing. So I guess that's it. Thanks for listening. And I'm going to give Chris the final line on this one.
Thank you, Anthony. Cheers and aloha.
Next episode, grab your library cards, if you still remember library cards, and take a little trip down to the library for some love in the library. Let's take out our library cards. Remember those? Open up the doors and step into the library. The air is cool and it smells of books. Let's walk the aisles, find our book, and settle into a big comfy chair. Shh. Everybody quiet now as we settle into this week's episode. Let's pretend I'm recording this inside a library, sitting at one of those big tables. Notes and stuff spread out around me. I see the librarian glaring at me, so I better keep it down. In case you don't know it by now, my name is Anthony, and I run this podcast. Those returning, thank you. Those new here, welcome. Feel free to peruse the earlier episodes once you're done listening. Now, let's get into the song.
On the corner of Government and Bay Avenue, the old doomsday.
day fanatic wore a crown of kudzu. Sirens were wailing in the Gulf Coastal heat, and it seemed like the whole world was in forced retreat. Paid no attention to Bob through the door, past the newspaper racks on the worn marble floor. Near Civil War history, my heart skipped a beat. She was standing in fiction, stretched high on bare feet. Love in the library, quiet and cold. Love in the library, there are no rules. Surrounded by stories surreal and sublime, I fell in love in the library.
Thankfully, that was a quiet song, and I don't think it would get us kicked out of the library. And this is a great song, such a gentle and easy song by Jimmy. I still remember hearing it for the first time, back in the early 90s when Fruitcakes was still new and current. Ironically enough, I had met a girl way back then, not my current wife. And guess where we met? You guessed it, a laundromat. No, just a joke, folks. We actually met in a library. She wasn't standing in fiction, stretched high on bare feet, but she was wearing what looked like a letter jacket. I don't think it was, but I approached her anyway. Got her number, and we dated for a few years. We eventually broke up. She stayed put, and I headed to Florida, trying to find the song lines of Jimmy Buffett. I didn't stay in Florida long. Money always finds a way to make things an issue. So I headed home, went back to school, and eventually met my wife, and we now have two awesome kids. All right, let me move on over to the card catalog and see what I can find out about this song. The card I'm looking at leads me over to the nonfiction aisle. Let me walk over and see if I can find it. Searching, searching, searching. No, don't want that. Let's see. Oh, here it is, here it is. This song was written by Jimmy and Mac McAnally, and it has been played live in concert only one time. Wait a minute. Did I read that right? Do I need new glasses? One time? Are my eyes going bad? This song has only been played once in concert? I truly can't believe this gem of a song has only seen the concert stage once since it was created. As much as Jimmy loves books, you would think it would have been in a few more set lists since it was released. Unbelievable. And digging further, I found this out. Looks like May 6, 1992, it was played at this thing called the Texas Connection in Austin, Texas, and he played these songs live that day as well. Railroad Lady, Margaritaville, A Pirate Looks at 40, Come Monday, I Have Found Me a Home, which I will feature soon, and Love in the Library. But here's the crazy thing. Those last two songs were cut from the broadcast. That means that Love in the Library was played live in front of an audience, but the only audience that saw it was the one there on that day. Nobody else saw it other than that small crowd. I can't believe this song wasn't even played to a regular concert crowd. I know this song isn't up there with the Margaritaville type songs of his career, but still, it deserves more than that. It's not a cutting room floor song, it really isn't. Jimmy has over 300 songs to choose from, so I can see how some get lost in the shuffle. But still, only one time, unbelievable. And if you get a chance, go over to Setlist FM and look at how many other songs were played as many times as Love in the Library. Or better yet, check out how many songs were played more than the song featured today. The list is mind-boggling. Thanks again for listening. And like I said on the last episode, dust off Fruitcakes once you're done listening today. Arguably one of his best albums. Probably in the top 10, if not top 5 of his career. It's such a strong album from start to finish, and I feel like it has been well received in the Parrothead community. Need to spill your brain about anything at all? ZombieBeach3@gmail.com is the place to do it. And it looks like the librarian is now pointing at me. Guess I didn't make too much noise. I better move on. Time to set sail. Fins up. Next one, time to be a Frenchman for the night. Bonjour, and thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Song Lines and Tan Lines podcast, a place to take a momentary break from your day-to-day routine. Those returning, thank you. The support is appreciated. Those new to this podcast, welcome. Now, let's get into Frenchman for the Night, written by Jimmy Buffett and Roger Guth from the album Fruitcakes. Let me first give you a bit of knowledge about four things in this song, and my French is rusty. I took classes in high school and college, and spent a summer in France once in my life, but I never got fluent. I wasn't driven enough to do it, but I do love the language, and I do enjoy France, and I hope to get back there again someday. Number one, Jimmy mentions the word arpeggios several times in the song. Do you know what that means? An arpeggios is notes of a chord played in succession, either ascending or descending. Number two, the line by the Beaujolais doesn't mean sitting beside the Beaujolais. It is the word B-U-Y, not B-Y, because I found out a Beaujolais is a light red or less commonly white burgundy wine produced in the Beaujolais district of southeastern France. Number three, Jimmy says this in the song, C'est une nuit blanche, and I found out it is a reference to an all-night festival focusing on art in Paris, and it is a gigantic party with music, events, and things like that. Number four, La Vie en Rose, which literally means life in pink, is the signature song of popular singer Edith Piaf, written in 1945, just a year before Jimmy was born. The song, La Vie en Rose, was popularized in 1946 and released as a single in 1947. Thanks, Wikipedia, for that information. And here is that beautiful song.
Voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, que ça me fait quelque chose.
I wonder if this song has a significance in Jimmy's life. He would have been a baby when it was popular. Maybe he heard it around the home. Maybe it helped to grow his love of France and the French culture. It would leave an impression on you, especially if you heard it throughout your growing up years. Let's now settle in on a beach and listen to the music coming from a driftwood castle.
His driftwood castle comes a song I've heard before. A scratchy gramophone cuts to the bone. La vie en rose, arpeggios. So the dream began, and the song is amplified by the
It's a fabulous song from start to finish, so gentle and smooth. I've always enjoyed it, and it is easily one of my favorites by Jimmy. Probably a song I would put in a top 20 list of Buffett songs if I ever decided to give myself nightmares and create one. Let's read some lyrics and discuss the meaning of this song. From his Driftwood Castle comes a song I've heard before. A scratchy gramophone cuts to the bone. La vie en rose, arpeggios. So the dream begins and the song is amplified. By the Beaujolais on Bastille Day, he dances in the tide. By the light of the moon, he's a Frenchman for the night. By the light of the moon, it'll be all right. Well, it takes him back to the days of love and war, and the girl he knew with eyes of blue, waiting on the shore. If he'd only known how the years would fly on by, such a simple crime, he's run out of time, so he reaches for the sky. Right here, at this moment, when I heard those lyrics, it got my brain to wondering, and here's what I came up with. It is clear in my mind the song is about a soldier who is reminiscing about the girl he left standing on the shore as he set sail back to America after World War II. Why do I think it was World War II? La Vie en Rose is the timestamp. That song was popular right around the time that war ended. The soldier and this woman were obviously in love, and they shared some great times together. Maybe there was a promise between them that he would return, and he never did. Maybe that's the crime part of the song. It was a simple decision at the time, not going back to her. But as the years have drifted by, he realizes it was a mistake. He hates what he did to her, hates he never gave their relationship a chance. Maybe after being haunted by the memories of her and the war, he packed it all up and headed to the beach. I think when it says he's run out of time, it means it is too late to return to her, too late to amend his bad decision. He made his choice, and now he has to live with it, and that's why he's reaching for the sky, out of frustration, cursing himself and the bad choice he made. And to try and recapture a bit of the great moments with this woman, every year on Bastille Day, he buys some wine and returns to France by celebrating their national holiday. Do you see those lyrics differently? Have you been to France and want to share your stories? Do you live in France or speak French and want to correct me on anything? ZombieBeach3@gmail.com is the email where you can reach me. This song has been played live 30 times, first played in July of 1994 and last played in October of 2019. Thanks BuffettNews.com for that information. And thanks Jimmy for making this great song. I've loved it for years, and every time I hear this song, it stirs up many great memories of my time in France and my love for that wonderful country. That will wrap up this episode. Thanks again for all the support. If you need another podcast beyond this one, the Audible Ecstasy Podcast is the place you can find me and two friends discussing albums we grew up with. That's it. Time to set sail. Thanks for listening. J'ai terminé. Time now to get spooky and get your Halloween vibes on with Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost. Ooh. Hello and welcome to this spooktacular and creeptastic episode. Those returning, thanks. Those new here, welcome. My name is Anthony, and I take full responsibility for this Frankenstein podcast. This week, I am discussing one of two songs that could have fit the Halloween season by Mr. Buffett. It was a toss-up, but I looked at the concert facts, and it appears this episode song has been played less than Desperation Samba in concert, making Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost a deeper cut than I realized it was going to be before I started writing the script for this episode. Of course, Desperation Samba contains Harrison Ford cracking a whip in the background, but as cool as that fact is, I think this song is a better choice for this week, especially with lyrics like these. Had a dream last night, took a time traveling ride, back to my childhood where those monsters reside. They snack on innocence and dine on self-esteem, but I like to be in touch with what makes me scream. Creepy, right? And those lyrics and this song was put together by four people. I'm surprised to learn that fact. This always felt like a song Jimmy would have written by himself. It was these four guys who gave us this great song. Jim Mayer, Jimmy Buffett, Peter Mayer, and Roger Guth. Thanks, guys, for crafting this excellent tune. And now let's go ahead and get into this song before this episode moves any further.
Oh, rock and roll is a scary business. No hit records, no MTV videos, you'll never make it here.
I love the creepy organ at the start of the song. And then the song kicks in, and this is a nice mid-tempo rocker with a harmonica killing it. The chorus is very catchy, and you can tell Buffett is having fun singing this one. And I don't know if he is into horror or not. Can't imagine he is. But people do surprise you. When I heard this song for the first time, I couldn't believe Jimmy name-dropped Stephen King. Mr. King is the guy who got my hands to typing. And to hear my favorite singer name drop my favorite author, it was a crazy connection. I never thought, what happened? I wonder how many authors are typing away because of Stephen King. Kind of sounds cliche today to say Stephen King got me into writing. So many are saying it now. But when I started reading his books, I knew writing was going to be a big part of my life. But this episode is not about me. This episode is about the song Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost. Let's go ahead and get into some concert facts. It looks like this song has been played 35 times in concert, and it was featured on tour in 1994 and 1995, played 26 times in 1994 and 9 times in 1995, right around the time Fruitcakes was released. That was the album this song was on, in case you didn't know that information. Funny that this song got played live more than Lone Palm or Love in the Library combined. I would think the reverse would have been true. But what do I know? I'm just a guy behind a mic, spitting out words. I was at the show he played this song on. I had forgotten that I saw him play this one live. 1994 and the Fruitcakes Tour was my first taste of Jimmy's live shows, and I've been enjoying seeing him perform for many years. Thanks, Jimmy, for this song, and thanks for entertaining me for so long. Let me go ahead and drop the candy in your bag and send you guys on your way. I appreciate all the support. I didn't do this for fame or glory. Just wanted to highlight some great songs by Jimmy. And when you guys tune in each week, it helps to strengthen that idea further and further. And thanks for putting up with my side roads into other artists as well. I'm trying to make a great podcast, and I hope I am. That's it. Time to set sail. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed those episodes. Next up on the podcast, Fruitcakes 2 and the songs Not Yet Covered. Let me drop anchor here and close out the episode. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. And if you do enjoy what I do here, don't forget to rate and review this podcast once you finish the episode. Also, if you remember your first Buffett show, swing over to Setlist FM, grab the set list, and send it to me. I would love to start featuring those sets on the podcast. and the reason to feature those sets will become clear in the next episode. And if you want to support me and this podcast, best way to do that is to purchase one of my books or short stories, or drop me a tip on my Ko-Fi page, or check out my newly redesigned Patreon page, where you will receive benefits and early access to the Songlines and Tanlines Fiction Addiction episodes. Those episodes now have a home on YouTube. Check that out too. There's a link in the show notes for that channel as well. And my contact information can be found in the show notes. Take care and thanks for listening.